event and a song. You have to find your music when you come back up. I'm just going to leave it down there and make a little adjustment. That's always fun when that happens. It's like, oh, okay. Oh, yeah, don't do that. Come on. Learn from the past. Okay. There's a an event and a song that goes with it that's always, for some reason, it's intrigued me. Maybe because it's that I worked on one of the Great Lakes for a few summers on the drilling platforms. But in 1976, a gentleman by the name of Gordon Lightfoot recorded a haunting song entitled The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. The Edmund Fitzgerald was a real ship, as you can see, and Lightfoot's song is a tribute to the shipwreck and the men who lost their lives. The Edmund Fitzgerald was a giant ore freighter ship, 729 feet in length, that was about 222 meters, and was the largest carrier ship on the Great Lakes from 1958 until 1971. The Edmund Fitzgerald was called the pride of the American side for reasons that are obvious. It was an American ship. And on November 10th, 1975, the Fitzgerald was hauling a heavy load of iron ore to Detroit, Michigan, when a severe storm came up on Lake Superior. The storm created 27 to 30-foot waves, about 8 to 9 meters, and during the evening hours, the ship disappeared from the radar screens. It broke up and sank quickly. It now rests on the bottom of Lake Superior, broken in two pieces with the bow upright and the stern upside down, still loaded with its cargo of ore, and all of the 29 crew members still rest there. It's a fact of nature that inland waters hold a certain kind of treachery. Sometimes due to geography, inland waterways, lakes like Superior, Erie, can become violent with changes of weather. And so as we come to our story today that we're going to look at in the Bible, which took place on the Sea of Galilee, we understand that this inland sea, Galilee, is only about 5 miles, that's about 8 kilometers wide, and 13 miles or 21 kilometers long. And it has a history of terrible storms. The Sea of Galilee is 600 feet below sea level, and great storms develop when cold air and warm air meet in this natural basin. It's quite likely that this was the situation as Jesus and his disciples started out across the Sea of Galilee after Jesus had finished speaking to the crowds of people who had gathered to see and hear him. What we're looking at today is called the miracle of the calming of the storm. And it's found in all three of the gospel books in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, those three books. What I want to do is I want to just take a moment and look at all three accounts. They're not very long, just a few verses each. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41, we read this story about Jesus calming the storm. It says, "That day when evening came, Jesus, he said to his disciples, 'Let's go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this?' Even the wind and the waves obey him." That's from Mark. Matthew chapter 8 carries the same story. It says, "Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we're going to drown.' He replied, 'You of little faith, why are you so afraid?' And then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm." The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." And then in Luke, one day Jesus and his disciples, you could probably do this by now, right? You know the story. Jesus then said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." And so they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Well, God bless your word to us today. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." And so they got into a boat and they set out. After a long day of ministry, which had included confrontations with religious leaders and teaching in the press of large crowds, Jesus was exhausted. And so as the day was coming to a close, he got hold of a boat to cross the lake and went to the back of the boat, where he basically passed out into a solid sleep. The disciples followed Jesus' instructions and set sail, and they began the trip across the lake with a bunch of other boats following them. At least that's what Mark indicates. The others don't mention that, but it doesn't matter that they don't. It's just a detail that Mark mentions. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat, and there were also other boats with him. While they were sailing across the lake, unexpected and seemingly without warning, they find themselves in the middle of a severe storm. Now, I said severe storm like it was soft and gentle, the words coming out, but Matthew, in his account, he uses the word seismos. Sound familiar? It's from earthquake. To describe the type of storm, to describe that storm, it wasn't an ordinary breeze blowing. This was like a hurricane. And Luke, in his account, writes that the storm was so bad that the ship was filling with water. And Mark wrote in his account that the waves were beating the ship and that it was full of water. Matthew, at one point in the account, says that the waves covered the ship. So this was one serious storm going on. They had a crisis on their hands. The ship was filling with water. The waves were as high and higher than the boat, and it looked like they were headed for the bottom unless the storm stopped pretty quickly. As we sit in a fairly comfortable sanctuary, it's easy to think good things about our lives and the world outside. But you know, there can be and are and probably will be more difficult days ahead in our lives. If you've lived very long, you know that's true. And this story in the life of Jesus and his disciples in the boat on the sea reflects that part of our lives where storms rise up and life itself can seem to be in danger. If you or a loved one have ever suffered from a life-threatening disease, then you know. The once calm lake of life becomes a storm-tossed and scary sea. This is a story about that. When the bad news comes, when that call comes and the voice on the other end says, "I'm afraid I have some bad news." The waves begin to beat and our boat seems as if it's sinking. And sometimes we call out and say, "Lord, don't you care that I'm drowning here? I'm sinking." Well, the obvious thing about this story is that storms happen. I mean, the Bible itself reveals various times in our lives when storms come. Sometimes it's when we're running from God's will. Sometimes it's when we have a heart of unbelief. Sometimes it's when we have unconfessed sin. Some of the storms in our lives are brought on by our own stupidity. Sometimes they're caused by our own bad decisions. They may be caused by, though, the actions of someone else as well. And at times they just seem to happen and we have no idea why. But no matter what storms come up in our life, the thing is, we can call out to Jesus because He is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us to comfort and strengthen us and to help us. In fact, in the book of James later on in the Bible, in the New Testament, we read that the purpose of trials and challenges and storms, we read this, not my words, they're there. The purpose is to test and deepen our faith. You can see it there. James 1, 2 to 3 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for," it's hard to read that, "consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." Unfortunately, some folks think or have been taught that life will be smooth with Jesus in it. That's not what the Bible teaches. In fact, it says we will have trouble. Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." You see, even when Christians follow Jesus, they have hard times. Storms come up in life. And the disciples in our story today were doing what Jesus had asked them to do by taking him across the lake, and yet they're slapped around by this storm and they seem to be in danger of drowning. Several of them are seasoned fishermen, and they're afraid they might die. So clearly it was a serious situation. But, you know, you can find a storm. You can be in the middle of a storm and be right in the center of God's will, even though that storm is there. And the disciples weren't in the storm because they had disobeyed. Again, they were doing what Jesus had asked. So what's the point of this story? Well, it seems that this account might be telling us that their level of fear or terror in that situation was out of control. It wasn't necessary. They didn't need to be so scared. I mean, they had seen Jesus do miracles. He had been teaching them and trying to instill a level of confidence in them about who he was and what his mission was. And all that seems to have gone away because of their fear. They didn't need to be so fearful when they were with him. In fact, there are a number of places in the Bible where God tells his people to not be afraid, to not fear, even in difficult and challenging circumstances. I mean, how many times do we have that appointment coming and we're terrified? Or the worst one is when the doctor calls on Friday and says, "After some tests, I need to see you on Monday." Well, that just ruins our whole weekend, right? Because you do nothing but worry and be scared that whole weekend. But here's the thing. Here's what they were learning, and I think it's a reminder to us as well. Without difficulties, without trials, without stresses and even failures, we would never grow to be the people Jesus calls us to become. Without adversity, we would be self-centered and proud and empty people. Faith must be tested before it can be trusted. Faith must be tested before it can be trusted. Jesus was in the stern, the back of the boat, asleep on a cushion of some sort. And although in a few minutes he would calm the storm with a display of divine power, at this moment he was sleeping in a tired human body. But to the disciples, it seems that they thought he seemed unaware or unconcerned about their situation. Does Jesus know? Does he care? Or as Gordon Lightfoot says in his song about that ship, the Edmund Fitzgerald, "Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours?" It's possible that there are times that we may, during our storms, mistakenly believe that we're alone. that no one, not even God, knows what's happening in our lives and how we're feeling. While these seasoned sailors were panicking because of the intensity of this storm, Jesus was fast asleep. I have no idea how. I don't know. But he was asleep. He was fast asleep, seemingly unconcerned or detached, maybe even indifferent to their difficulty. You can tell by what they say to him. And I wonder if it's true. Is it true that there are moments at some point in our life when we feel like that? When we're in the middle of a crisis of one kind or another, and it seems that Jesus just might not care. It seems that he just doesn't seem to be interested or concerned with what we're going through. God's never promised that our lives would be free from pain or disappointment or storms. Anyone who tells you otherwise isn't teaching the truth of the Bible. What God does promise is his strength. He promises his presence. And he promises his resources to pass through the storms that we face. And the fact is that Jesus was right there with them in the boat in the same storm. Soaked and terrified, the men had tried to keep the boat headed into the wind. And they knew that the next wave could take them to the bottom. And in a near state of panic, one of the disciples goes to Jesus sleeping in the back and he shouts, he must have been yelling. I picture the rain beating against his face and maybe waves splashing over the boat and the wind. You know, that's not a quiet situation where you just have an inside voice conversation. He must have been yelling so that Jesus could hear him above the wind. As to what they said, their words differ a bit in each of the gospel accounts. Matthew writes that the disciples shouted, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown!" Luke says, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." And in Mark we read, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" All those things were probably said and maybe more. It seems that at that point, probably their faith was paralyzed by fear. And that can happen. Their faith was paralyzed by their fear. They were afraid that all of them, including Jesus, would die, but their fear made too much of the problem. I'm not judging. I wasn't there. I can't say. But it seems in what Jesus is teaching here through this whole thing is that their fear made too much of the problem and too little of God's power. Fear does that. It maximizes the problem and it minimizes God's power and his presence. Fear is forgetting who Jesus is. Fear is forgetting that Jesus is in charge. Yet to call out is to acknowledge that there is a God who cares and acts. There's a psalm, Psalm 107. It's a pretty cool psalm that acknowledges and gives praise for God's deliverance. It's a psalm of rescue. In fact, the verses I'm going to show on the screen here in a second have given cause for this chapter by some to be called the Mariner's Psalm. Take a look. Some went off. It's writing, and then the verses say, "Some went off to sea in ships, plying trade routes of the world. They too observed the Lord's power in his action, his impressive works on the deepest seas. He spoke and the winds rose, stirring up the waves. Their ships were tossed to the heavens and plunged again to the depths. The sailors cringed in terror. They reeled and staggered like drunkards and were at their wits' end. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves." What a blessing was that stillness as he brought them safely into harbor. The disciples in our story call on Jesus, and he wakes up and he calms the storm. The wind and the waves actually stop. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. It seems to be immediate. Storms don't stop like that. They subside, the wind dies, the waves are still going for a little while, and it subsides, but it says it seems to be immediate. As each gospel account speaks of an instant calm. But why did it take to that point for Jesus to stop it? Why did they have to be at the point of dying and in dread? Why did it take them so long? Well, Maybe it was because the disciples took so long to call on him. Maybe it was because they took so long to call out to him. They tried to do everything they could, and when they realized there was nothing more they could, they called out to Jesus. I think we might tend to do that sometimes too. I mean, maybe none of you, but often in difficulties, people try many things, and calling out to Jesus is left for a little bit later on. Not always, but sometimes. Well, Jesus says to them, he asks them, he says, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" It's hard to wrap my head around that a little bit sometimes. Although their fear was natural, it seems that Jesus is saying their faith was something that had a lot of room to grow, just like me, and probably just like you. Jesus seems to be saying that they didn't need to be so afraid if they had faith to trust him more, maybe. If they had just called on him sooner and trusted. Well, the disciples are so blown away, they wonder out loud, "Who is this guy?" And one of the ones say that they were terrified. You know, they're about to die in the storm. Jesus calms it, stops it. I'd be going like, awesome. But they're going terrified and afraid. Who is this guy? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Actually, the answer to that question, who was this guy, was answered a long time ago. Back in that book of Psalm again that I mentioned before, 89:8-9 says, "Who is like you, God Almighty? Yes, you, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them." A little bit of a theme going through the Bible there. Well, in the lives of Jesus' followers, the presence of, or I guess maybe the absence of faith, in this case, was revealed in the traumas of life. Maybe that's true for us today. In the lives of Christ followers, of Jesus followers, the presence, or I guess the absence of faith, is revealed in the challenges and the difficulties of life. The depth of our faith is often revealed in the storms of life. When difficulties come, we can choose to worry, but we all know how much worry does, right? It does nothing. It changes nothing. When faced with difficulties, we can try harder and harder until we see that there's nothing more we can do, and we're forced to realize that it's absolutely out of our control. We could do that. Or we can, in faith, call out to Jesus and ask for his help as a first action. It doesn't mean we don't have some natural fear. I mean, sometimes fear is a good thing, right? Because it keeps us from bad decisions. But we need to grow in faith that keeps us from being paralyzed by fear that steals that faith. And I think that's part of what the story is really about. And in 1 Peter 5:7, it gives us a tip on how to do that. To grow in faith that isn't paralyzed by fear. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. You may have come through a storm in life. You may be in a storm right now. Or there may be one on the horizon. We all have them. We all go through them. Jesus calls us to put our trust in him. He waits for us to call on him. He longs for us to have faith in him, because he is the one who can best take us through the storm. He is the one who can best take you through your storm. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this story. Sometimes as I read these accounts and I read about what you're saying and what's going on, I'm a little confused. But Father, thank you for your word that encourages us that we need to grow in our faith. I mean, I think we all know that. We haven't reached that point of perfection by any means. But God, you know, we'd rather grow in faith without the storms. Thank you very much. But somehow you've chosen to design it so that those storms, those challenges, sometimes those trials and difficulties press us, push us, draw us closer to you. I pray, Father, that whether it be in the storm or whether it be in the calm, that we would trust you, that we would call on you, that we would grow in you, that we would be better prepared for those times. But Father, thank you most of all that you walk with us through it all. Yes, there are little stories that we tell how you probably carry us through them more than we even realize. And so we say thank you. Help us to grow in faith, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.